Good morning, Rehoboth. Isn't it great to be in the house of God this morning? Wasn't yesterday glorious? I had so much fun pulling pork at 6-something in the morning. I got a manicure from all the pork fat. We had, if you have not lived till you woke up with the chickens and showed up to pull what we call vegan pork. We decided since the pork ate grass, it was vegan. And we had the most fun. People, you all showed out. The kitchen was full at 6, and then the 8 o'clock crew came in. We had desserts y'all going to enjoy for a long time during fellowship time. It was glorious. And the men started on Friday. I pulled up Friday morning to do a little work, and I could smell it long about John and Mary's house. And there were people pulling up. Y'all going to love this one. People pulled up. They were just putting the pork on. Is it ready yet? Yeah, you want some botulism? It's ready. But what a glorious day. I mean, it was wonderful to be together in the family of God and to serve the bend a little love along with some pork and chicken. We're not taking any cholesterol numbers, but it was wonderful. So thank you, men, for what you do for us. And the money, as PJ said, will affect a lot of people for the kingdom. Amen? Let's go to God in prayer. God, you are so wonderful. You are so amazing. We see it in the sunrise, just as the darkness is fading away to light. We see it in the Christmas, letting us know that the seasons are changing, yet reminding us that your love never changes. We see it in the laughter of people coming together in your house, experiencing fellowship. We see it when an entire volunteer fire company comes to have lunch with us. We see it when we can come together in our struggles and share with each other. And we see it here today, for we feel your spirit among us. We feel your spirit leading us into your kingdom. So right now, God, help us to listen with all of our being to what you have for us. Help us to hear deep within our soul your word. For it is your word and your word alone that will save us. It is your word and your word alone that will free us. And it is your word and your word alone that is the salve that our world needs. So speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. For we, your sons and daughters, long to hear your voice and long for the peace that passes all human understanding. And let the church say, amen. So today I'm going to do something differently. We're going to, because this text that we have today is so rich, I'm going to kind of read the text as we talk about it, as opposed to read the text then talk, if that's okay. We're continuing today with our sermon series on fearlessness, and today is about fearless witness. Now, oftentimes when I say I'm going to talk about witnessing, a lot of you go, oh no, I don't want to talk about that. But really, witnessing is nothing more than telling a story, our story. Our story of how Christ has seen us through a mighty long way, and telling the story of how we were once no people, and now we are a people. That's all witnessing is telling your story of what Christ has been to you. And we're going to tell that today through the story of a man named Philip. We're going to tell it through the story we find in Acts. Acts 8, verses 26 through 39, and we're going to use the Common English Bible. Let's begin. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and said, at noon, take the road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road, so he did. Now, some background on Philip. In the early church, the disciples, the church just exploded, and the original apostles began to realize that their preaching and teaching was taking up all of their duties, and they needed some help in the care of the congregation. And there arose among the folks a dispute that said that it seems like only one part of the congregation is being cared for, and we need help with another part of the congregation. So they elected among themselves seven people, Stephen, Philip, and five others, to care for the widows and those in need. I think Philip would probably be a Rehoboth person, because Philip was very adept at Philip himself was a Hellenistic Jew, and he was very adept at going out and caring for the Hellenistic widows and those within his own society. See, he wasn't a man who stood around. He didn't really like committees. Amen. I heard you. And he wanted to go out in the community and help. He would have been the kind of person that was on mission teams. He'd been the kind of person going out and at the food shelters. He'd been the kind of person that gone out and found who needed a coat drive. He'd been the kind of person that said, if there's a need in the community, that's where I'm going to be. That would have been Philip. Don't you think he'd been fitting real good here? Yeah, isn't that what Rehoboth is all about? Isn't that our reputation in the community? If there's a need, Rehoboth's going to be there. He'd been real comfortable in this family of faith. Well, he was in Jerusalem, and they were doing a mighty fine work. Stephen was the kind of the head of this band of seven. And Stephen was mighty in work and mighty in speaking out. And he kind of spoke his mind, and that got Stephen in trouble. And Stephen was stoned by followers of the synagogue of freedmen. And you know who headed up that posse, don't you? It was this man named Paul. And when the persecution happened there, Philip fled to Samaria. And it was while he was in Samaria that the Lord said to him, I want you to go out at noonday, which is when a lot of people don't travel. And I want you to stand at this road. So he did. You ever had this hunch, this kind of gnawing, this kind of prickling in your consciousness? And the Lord said, I want you to do something totally strange. And you ignore it. The Lord said, I want you to go speak to that person, or I want you to go do this thing. And you say, oh, I'm just, you know, that's crazy. Well, Philip said, I'm going to do this odd thing. I'm going to go stand at this road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. And it was a desert road. It wasn't the safest road in town. And so he did. And meanwhile, there was an Ethiopian man was on his way home from Jerusalem where he had come to worship. He was a eunuch and an official responsible for the entire treasury of Candace. Candace was the title given to the Ethiopian queen. Now, for some reason, this man from Ethiopia, this high official, was in search of something greater than he had. He was a eunuch. Therefore, he could not have been a Jew because of himself being a eunuch. And he was in charge of all the money. Now, Candace is a title. It's kind of like she was the queen mother of this country in Africa. And he had come not by himself, but with some of his folks, some of his entourage. And he was in search. He wanted deeper meaning. And he had heard that here we were in Jerusalem, but he was on his way back. And he was an outsider. He was one of those people. Though he was rich, though he was powerful, he was empty and he was searching. All of his wealth could not provide him meaning. All of his trappings of his office could not provide for him what his soul wanted the most, which was connection to the holy. And here he was on his way back, on that very same road where Philip had been sent. He was reading from the prophet Isaiah while sitting in his carriage. He was so rich that he had his own copy of the scroll. Now, when it said he was reading, it's not like you and I read. It meant that he had someone, probably in his carriage, reading to him out loud. Okay, you got the picture? Then the Spirit told Philip, approach the carriage and stay with it. In other words, the carriage was moving slowly enough that Philip could walk up to it and walk along beside it. In running up to the carriage, Philip heard the man reading the prophet Isaiah, and he asked, do you really understand what you are reading? In other words, Philip just started a conversation. Now, how many of us can start a conversation? How many of us have come across someone that you just see in their eyes, they're searching for something? Or how many of us, reading a book in a public place, notice someone else reading a book and go up to them and say, hey, tell me about your book? Or someone approach you and say, that looks like an interesting book. Or just smile at them and say, I hope you have a good day. Philip took the opportunity of an everyday encounter to engage this person who was searching. All of us can find everyday encounters to be more than everyday ordinary. Could we not? Could we not see someone who's sitting by themselves and just stop and say, I hope you have a great day? Or let the Spirit lead you to say something more than that? Philip took an ordinary encounter to become extraordinary moment of grace. And the man replied, without someone to guide me, how could I? There are people around us who are hungry for grace, hungry for God, and they need us to guide them. Philip had not been to seminary. Philip had not been trained as a minister. All Philip had was his experience of Christ. All Philip had was his waiting on the table, so to speak, as they call it in Acts. All Philip had was his experience of working for Christ in meeting the needs of others. He was an ordinary man, yet he had his experience. Each of us have our own experiences, our own ways in which we have encountered the Holy Spirit of Christ. Each of us have experienced God, and we can guide someone else, or we can bring them to a place in which they can encounter the Holy. Then he, meaning the eunuch, invited Philip to climb up into the carriage with him and sit with him. And this was the passage of scripture he was reading. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he didn't open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was taken away from him. Who can tell the story of his descendants because his life was taken from the earth? You may have heard this piece of Isaiah before. We read it every year on Good Friday. This is called the Suffering Servant passage. It talks about what Christ is going to give up. It was the perfect opportunity. Philip didn't have to search the scriptures. There it was right before him. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me about whom does the prophet say this? Is it he talking about himself or someone else? The man who was searching gave Philip the most amazing question. Tell me, I am hungry. I want to know, who is this about? The man was so hungry for God, so hungry for grace, so hungry for Christ. He led Philip into telling the story. Starting with the passage, Philip proclaimed the good news about Jesus to him. He didn't start a theological debate. He didn't give him 1,000 years of church history. Well, that's probably the worst way of witnessing, let me tell you. What he did is he said, let me tell you the story of the master. Let me tell you about the man who changed my life. Let me tell you my story. You can tell your story, can you not? Can you not say, this is how this man of Galilee has fed me, has healed my wounds, has been with me through the dark night, has been with me through the times of grief and the times of joy, has been there every moment with me? Tell your story. That's how we spread the gospel. And as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water. What would keep me from being baptized? And he ordered the carriage halt. Both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water where Philip baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Lord's Spirit suddenly took Philip away. But the eunuch never saw him again, but went away rejoicing, because the eunuch had found the Lord. Because Philip told his story, another life was changed. And I bet you the eunuch found someone else to tell his story. That is what witnessing is about. I tell my story to someone, and that someone tells their story to someone, and that's how the kingdom grows. It's not about televangelism. It's not about preaching. It's about telling our story from one person to another. It's a very simple task. And that's what God is calling us to do, is to tell our story. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen.